Last time that I went, I was telling them boys there that it was, boy, it was dark, and of course, kind of a moonlit light. And I was sitting there, and all of a sudden, here come a nice big duck, and I, boom, you know, in the moonlight. Must have been a lot of people wanting to shoot, because as soon as I popped the cap, boom, 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 everywhere. And then that word meant, I thought, oh, man, I might have been a little too early. But when I went out there to get him, he didn't have a watch on either, so he didn't know what time it was, and we were... Congratulations, boys, on your duck hunt. I want to ask you if y'all did any of that, because I know you had the game warden with you. Ezekiel chapter 40, if you're able to look there, and you'll stand with me, please. If you're able to stand, in verse number 1. In the 25th year of our captivity, in the beginning of the year, in the 10th day of the month, in the 14th year after the city was smitten, in the selfsame day, the hand of the Lord was upon me and brought me thither. In the visions of God brought he me into the land of Israel. And he set me upon a very high mountain by which was the frame of the city on the south. And he brought me thither, and behold, there was a man whose appearance was like the appearance of brass, and with a line of flax in his hand and a measuring reed, and he stood in the gate. And the man said unto me, Son of man, behold thine with thine eyes, and hear with thine ears, and set thy heart upon all that I shall show thee, for the intent that I might show them unto thee, art thou brought hither, declare all that thou seest to the house of Israel. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of thy word, and we do thank you for it, how good it is to be once again back here in the house of God. I want to say thank you now for all the blessings of last year and already this year that we've had. It was a blessing to my heart just to be able to hear these young ladies and young folks singing, this congregation singing, these boys and girls, men and women, and families that have been brought to the house of God. I pray that now you'd save the lost, lift up the downhearted, set the captives free. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, and be seated. I want to preach on a new year as a new year begins. In the lesson that we're looking at, you'll find out that one of the things that we see that Israel had been in captivity. You remember that? Remember whenever Solomon had built that temple and this and that? Israel as a nation disobeyed God. As a result, is that Nebuchadnezzar came and the people of Babylon and took them over and destroyed the temple and so forth and burned their city. Now, you're going to find out that these are people that are here that finally... is that by the time that we read Ezekiel, he's prophesying about a millennial temple that's going to take place during the millennial reign of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There's already been two temples that have been destroyed, one of them back in Solomon's day, the other one back in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah, and we'll not get into that now, maybe some of that a little bit later on. In this lesson that you're looking at, you're going to find out that the whole idea that after they've been in captivity, here's a new order that's about to take place. And let me tell you something, you'd better make sure your house is in order before this day ends here. When you look into the Bible, did you notice there was a man that had a measuring reed? We're not going to take time to read all of it, but there was a man there that had a measuring reed. And let me tell you right now is that you'd better see that all the things that were measured about the temple, all the things that were measured, you know, everything just according unto the specs that God intended. Here's my question here. Are you measuring up this morning? See that? In this lesson we live in, you're going to find out for the most part, people are not going to measure up. In the lesson we're looking at, let me tell you right now, is what we look at in this lesson, that man has a need for worship. Whether he's incarcerated, whether he's living in bondage, or whether he's a free man, man needs worship. And the only acceptable worship is according to the dictates of God and the Bible, or the Holy Scriptures, if you please, and by the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God. You know, the Bible said that the Lord seeks those to worship him, but if a man's going to worship God, that he must worship in spirit and in truth. You better have the Holy Ghost of God and the Word of God if you're going to be able to worship God in an acceptable manner. Now, this lesson that we're looking at, you'll find that after the battle of the tribulation is ended, Ezekiel chapter 40 is going to be about the millennial reign of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. there's a lot of good things that we ought to look at in this chapter this year. I got to tell you what it does and what it emphasizes is that it doesn't make any difference from what direction. He mentions the north and he mentions the south. He mentions the east and he mentions the west. And I don't care which direction you came from. Everybody has need to be born into the family of God. You ever talk to somebody and say, listen, are you saved? If you died today, would you go to heaven? Well, I'm a Baptist. I didn't ask you what your denomination was. I asked you what your destination was. I've had people that try to tell me, oh, well, I'm from out west. I don't care what direction you come from. Oh, yeah, I live up north, you know. Good, that's great. Great for you. In fact, is God said that whenever we leave here, the promotion's going to be from the north. And the way that we know that is because that he mentions the other three directions and said it's not going to be from there, but it's going to be from the north. I got to tell you, I don't care if you came from the north, south, east, or west, is that you'll have to be born again into the family of God, and you have need of that because every direction God can save you from. I want to tell you something, is that in this lesson we're looking at, do you realize at all that there's a need for atonement? In fact, as you'll find out, is that Israel, because he'd messed up and in this millennial reign, and there's going to be a millennial temple. Now, people have never been saved by the blood of bulls and goats, and they're not saved that way now. Is that you'll find that it was only the temple and the tabernacle that was, the tabernacle was mobile, and the temple was in a stationary place. And right now there's a Muslim mosque sitting where that temple site is. And make no mistake about it, there'll be another temple there in the millennial reign. I said all that to be able to tell you right now is that bunch of God-hating, Jew-hating Muslims that have got it occupied right now, they're going to be removed from the scene by the hand of God. In this lesson that you're looking at, hey, I was thinking about, you know, and what a sad day. Don't worry about getting into a war. The president has made another phone call to Putin and told him to put his mask. Come on, man, put your mask on. And that ought to scare him. If that don't scare him, I don't. You know, do you know now that Kamala Harris is more important, has got more popularity than the president does? And fact is, they interviewed her on CNN. Now, this is one of their kind of people, you know. And so what do you think your failure was, if anything? What do you think your failure's been the past year? And you want me to tell you what she said? I knew you did. I'm going to tell you anyway. Here's what she said. That's too much in D.C. That's too much in D.C. I'm going to tell you right now, that jackass can do some laughing, can't he? I said all that just so you'd know that in this lesson that we're looking at is that you better know something about God. You better know something about the end time. You better know something, buddy, that's real deep down in your heart. And let me tell you right now is if there is ever a day and an hour that we ought to preach about the need for worship, it's the day that we live in. Now, let me say to you that, if you will, that the blood of bulls and goats never has been able. It's not able right now. It won't be able never to take away your sin. Let me tell you the only thing that can take away your sin, and that is the offer of the Lord Jesus Christ and the blood he shed at Calvary's old rugged cross over 2,000 years ago. He won victory over death, over hell, and over the grave. You can have that. It's free to everyone that'll receive it. It's for everlasting to those that do. Or you can say no to God, the Bible, and the Holy Ghost of God in conviction. And I'll tell you what happens is you'll bust hell wide open one of these days. Not because he doesn't love you, but because you receive not the love of the truth that you might be saved. I've had people tell me that, preacher, you don't know how bad my life's been. I sure don't know, but I can tell you whose hand can reach farther down for you than you'd ever be able to reach back up. I can tell you one that loves you, that's forgiving, that shed his blood, and if you'll receive it unto yourself, he'll save your soul and change your life. But if you don't want to do that, you don't have to do that. You can just go right on like you're doing. Somebody said, what do I need to do to go to hell? Not one thing since birth. That's exactly. We're born sinners, born without God, born headed to hell. Do you know what's wrong with the average Baptist? They made a profession because somebody in Sunday school told them they ought to. I got to tell you, friend, I'm not talking about a teacher asking you. I'm not talking about a preacher intimidating you. I'm talking about the Holy Ghost of God pounding on your heart's door, making you know it's you and him that need to do business. Make no mistake about that. And when God saves you, he'll change your heart and he'll change your life and forgive you of your sins. He'll put them in the sea of forgetfulness as far as the east is from the west, he said. I want to say to you, one sacrifice that Jesus offered, and he paid for the sin debt of the world, but they don't want that. That's why there's so many religions out there. They've tried to invent another way where they had a little part in it themselves. I got to tell you, is that make no mistake about it, it's Jesus Christ plus nothing, Jesus Christ minus nothing. In this lesson that we're looking at, I want you to look in the book of Isaiah real quickly. Isaiah chapter number 66, there's a passage that I want you to look at. Isaiah chapter number 66. Now, this is one of the things about the sacrifice that'll be during the millennial time. And let me say to you, even though they don't take away sin, it's a picture of the sacrificial death and burial and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Leviticus, you'll find that it's mentioned there from chapter 1 to chapter 23 about the sacrificial gifts that are given, about the offerings that were there. In Ezekiel, in chapter number 40 that we've read, down all the way through chapter 45, you'll find that the same sacrifices that are mentioned there. But I want to say to you that if you will, is that two major offerings, one of them's a burnt offering that shows you're guilty of sin, and the other one's a grain offering that shows you're in fellowship with God. Now I'm going to tell you, you're never going to be in fellowship with God till you've first been born again into the family of God. In the lesson that we live in a world religiously, they'd like to be able, somehow or another, be in fellowship with God. That's the reason why everywhere you listen is that they're all of them happy, and they're all of them go-lucky, and they're all of them positive, and they're all of them without hope and without God. By the way, I never did get a call from anybody. Whenever I said that Beth Moore now's in the Anglican church over there in Spring, Texas, I never did get anybody call say you was right all the time, preacher. Maybe they just, their battery's dead or something like that. I hope that's all that's wrong with them. I'm afraid they're going to be something dead more than just batteries with people whenever the Lord's trumpet sounds again. In the book of Isaiah, chapter number 66, and about verse 20, the Bible says, "And they shall bring all your brethren for an offering unto the Lord out of all the nations upon horses, in chariots, in litters, and upon mules, and upon swift beasts to my holy mountain in Jerusalem." I wonder why that he's got all of that and there's not cars and trucks or tanks or something like that. You think it's because there's not no fossil fuel around anywhere? You think because it may be something else is going on in the Battle of Armageddon, you think maybe all the enemies got control of them? Here's what I do know. He says, "And upon swift beasts to my holy mountain Jerusalem, saith the Lord, and as the children of Israel bring an offering, look at it, in a clean vessel into the house of the Lord." Now, I'm going to tell you, is that until you have a vessel that you live in, and let me tell you, we have the treasure in this earthen vessel. And unless you've got a clean vessel, you'll never offer anything unto God that'll be acceptable unto him. And the only way you're going to have a clean vessel is by coming to him in the free pardon of sin. I want to say that as a new year begins, and by the way, is that while this new year begins, let me emphasize it, make sure your house is in order. In this lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you, I've got about two or three points and I'm going to be done. Number one is, you ought to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Do you realize to know that life is short and death is sure? Listen, we look all around us and I can promise you there are people that are dying. Some of them that were celebrities and some of them that nobody else knew. But I guarantee you, God knows whenever every one of them draws their last breath. And let me tell you right now, death is a sure thing and eternity will be forever. That's the reason why you better trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to your own understanding. When God said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Somebody, you're going to ask them one of these days, are you saved? Do you know the Lord? And they're going to tell you no. Do you know if you're not saved here this morning, you've not done the very first thing God intended for you to do, and that's to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Number two is, in the lesson, let me tell you, you ought to enjoy living just one day at a time. You know, in the lesson that we're living in, the Bible said, boast not thyself of tomorrow, thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. I can tell you there's been plenty of us that are here this morning can testify to the fact that we had plans to do this or that, and God interrupted them abruptly, and we lost sight of everything else we had planned to take care of that one thing that God got our attention with. That's not going to be the last time that he does. But I can tell you right now, you ought to enjoy living one day at a time. You know, in this lesson that we're living at, if you're not careful, you'll be so busy trying to live for tomorrow, you'll completely miss the blessing and the joy of living today. I mean, you will. You come to church on Sunday. I don't know about you, but I came to get in, not to get out. That's today. Some days I come and think, how long is this going to last? Is it going to be a very long? I got two or three other things I got to be. I don't make any plans for nothing on Sunday. It's the Lord's day, and I do my best to try to concentrate on what God's about to get done. In this lesson here that you're looking at, you'll find out is that you better enjoy living and slow down just a little bit. I mean, listen, if you don't stop and slow down just a little, you'll never take time to be holy. And the Bible said that if you don't take time to be holy, you're not going to take time to be happy. I was thinking about this moment, this experience is soon going to pass. And what you'd better do, you'd better enjoy the moment. The other evening, somewhere, I don't know, these kids, you know, they're always climbing around wanting an air BB gun or a plastic BB gun or some kind of other thing or some kind of real something, or they're just always, the kids are just a bundle of wants. I was playing catch, a little old bitty football there. I was with Chandler, and and I'd throw that ball. She'd catch that thing, and then, man, she was happy every time she'd catch it. Then she'd chunk it back, and sometimes I'd catch it. And boy, she was, every now and again. Don't wait till you're dead with old age to try to have fun with a kid. Spend a little bit of time every now and again. I know I was probably not the best dad in the world, and I'm certainly not the best grandpa. I'm not really a kid person. There's a lot of them hanging around on me. But I watch some of them. I watch some of these boys and girls trying to get the attention of daddy, and he's too busy. Trying to get the busy. Mama. What? That's true. You ever notice these little infant babies, they'll sit around and sometimes they'll just stare a hole in you. They're waiting for you to look at them, say something, say hi, and say, you know. And I got to tell you right now that whenever you look into the Bible, you begin to realize that is that God has been telling us that all the time. We ought to rejoice with the wine. She's not a white slave and you're not a slave owner. Where's my supper? What you doing? What's the list you got done? And all this and that and all that. I tell you, my wife, you could hand her a list, I can tell you where she'd tell you you could put it. I was thinking in the trash can, but wherever you was thinking, it probably would work too. The whole idea here for the new year is, dear friend, is that you and I, is that if you're not saved by the grace of God, if you're not prepared to die, you're not prepared to live, but you ought to enjoy every moment of living that you can. You know, you better laugh every time you get a chance to laugh. The Bible said weeping, Psalm 30, verse 5, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. You ever wonder why that every now and again that God just simply disrupts us and turns us upside down? Do you ever wonder that? To let us know that we're not at home yet here, children. But while you are at home here, listen, you ought to be thankful that God loved you in spite of who and what you are, and that you ought to enjoy living those moments together. I try to look around me and thank the Lord for every opportunity and every privilege just to be able to serve God with you that are here. I don't know people that are out yonder and all that. I mean, I know a few of them, but I don't know them like I know you. We're not together like we are. And you see what I'm talking about? If I go visit with another church, hey, I'm not part of that family. I'm part of the household of faith. I'm part of the family of God. But, I mean, I don't know them like I know you. You see that? There ought to be a bond that we have to where we can enjoy one another. And, you know, every now and again, just take time to mix and mingle and let people know, hey, how you doing? What's going on? You know? How was your week? Instead of just, you know, just coming in, flopping down, you know, and dropping your bread basket right on down top of the pew and...
You're right.
Instead of telling people to go to hell, why not rejoice that they're going to heaven?
Amen.
I tell you what it'll do is, it'll keep you from being like the camel. I mean, Kamala. What a nasty looking hypocrite that old gal is. And the only reason why that I say that is because of the fact that she doesn't have a clue what it means to be born again. Neither does she want to. Neither does she want to. Let me tell you right now, the President of the United States, a bust hell wide open.
Yes,
if he don't, I would that he get saved between here and there, but I don't think it's going to happen now. And let me tell you right now is all the Democratic Party's got to be a sorry, low-life bunch that nobody else would stand up with that. What's his name? What's that one guy's name? What's his name? That's a good guy. Who? Yeah, that's it. I knew it was a Joe. What's the president's name? Joe. I get confused with him. I got to tell you something right now is in spite of all the hell that's raging in the world that we're living in, slow down long enough to thank God for how good he's been and for where we would have been had it not been for the grace of God.
Amen.
Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. We're getting ready to dismiss here this morning. Be a man, a woman, a boy, a girl that's here this morning that does not know thee in the free pardon of sin. May you pound heavily upon their heart's door to let them know that you are personally doing business with them personally, that they have no doubt about it that you're getting their attention. I pray you'd save the lost,
yes.
Lift up the downhearted, set the captives free. I will say thank you, Lord, for having done the same for me. In Jesus' name we pray.